Our next guest has written a book called Inflection Point, War and Sacrifice in Corporate America. And on the front cover, there's chess pieces here, you know, maneuvering, manipulating, strategy, that sort of thing. This is actually the story of our guest's legal team at Pfizer, who found themselves at the epicenter of the decade-long worldwide multi-billion-dollar battle for control over the world's most prescribed pharmaceutical Lipitor. And joining us to talk about that is Tracy Medford Rosso. Good morning, Tracy.
Hi, thank you so much, Bruce.
Thanks for having us. You know, I was looking at this and I'm thinking it's not often that we get a lot of books with intrigue related to sort of patents. And then I remembered we interviewed a guest who had a whole story about Edward Land and his Polaroid and Kodak.
Right.
And there's so much intrigue into that. Obviously, it's long decades, and that's kind of what it is here. Take us back to the sort of the beginning of this. Lipitor, this is the cholesterol-lowering drug. Who created it, and then who was trying to replicate it or change the patent? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said about intrigue with patent cases. A lot of people think, oh, patent cases, that's got to be really boring. But it's actually very interesting, and there is a lot of intrigue in it because it's very intellectual, I guess, and so there's lots of different kind of mental games you can play with it. But the two players were Pfizer, obviously, where I worked for 30 years, and an Indian company by the name of Ranbaxy, who wanted to be the first generic company in the United States to sell it.
Tell me about how does this work with pharmaceuticals? We hear about drugs or there's testing or somewhere in the news a story will come out about a drug that in the lab caused this to happen. And then we're thinking, okay, when is it going to be applied to humans? A little bit about that process and how much goes into that and what actually makes it to market. If you could, in a short sentence, I suppose that's hard to sum up in even our interview here. But
yeah, there's a couple questions within that one question, but let me try to hit the high points. The patent litigation itself is controlled by a drug that's 32 years old. It's called Hatch-Waxman. As far as inventing drugs and getting them to market, that's a pretty unknown factoid, if you will. It takes anywhere from about 10 to 12 years from the time you actually invent a drug to get it onto the market, and it costs about $1 billion in doing the clinical studies necessary to gain FDA approval. So the most interesting factoid that I just read was that only 1 in 10,000 drugs ever invented even makes it to market.
So there's a lot that is tried, doesn't work. There's always money behind all that. So when the drug actually makes it to market, those drugs then you're hoping to make those the ones to recoup any cost you must have spent in the years
for the research.
In the research for that as well. So there, and of course, now you're dealing also with things in the United States and worldwide. Not everybody's governed by the same authority, right?
Well, that's quite true, and that's another reason that I was trying to shed some light on this issue because, one, I think the law needs to be changed, something that I actually never even noticed at Pfizer, but 6 years ago I retired and I set up private practice and started representing other pharmaceutical clients around the world and started to see this pattern, and it was at that point, some 2 or 3 years after I left Pfizer, actually, that I started to think, this law isn't working for anybody anymore. The other thing that was concerning to me is that at least half of the generic companies now selling in the United States are not American companies, and these products are not made here in America, and so the FDA just can't have the same possible oversight that they do if they're our own plants. The other aspect of that is draining off U.S. jobs.
And, of course, now with the Internet and the connection, it used to be you'd just be able to go to your doctor or to a pharmacist, and there'd be kind of a local, regional, now it's you can just sort of order something and it'll show up. And we've had people talk from pharmaceutical companies or pharmacies wondering what's in the drug, if it's been cut with something else, a whole other health type of issue. When did you decide or realize that there was a book in this story that you lived through?
Well after I left Pfizer, I actually started just writing the first notes of it a year or two afterwards, but I think I didn't really think there was a book, and I've never written a book before, and it wasn't on my bucket list until maybe 3 or 4 years later, and I started to see this thing kind of merging before me with a bunch of notes kind of coming together. And the most interesting thing about the book, I think, from the human perspective and from the general public perspective, is not even the Lipitor story, which is, of course, you know, reading like a fast-paced courtroom thriller, and a lot of people do like those. But it's the human story that's woven onto that, which what I've done is taken three or four of the main players of the team and woven on their personal stories, what was happening to them during the time that we were all trying to do this job for Pfizer. And you have one man who came down right in the middle of it with pancreatic cancer, and I guess you probably know that the odds of surviving that are 3 or 4%. I had a woman who came to us from Guyana. She was literally born in poverty in Guyana, and she made her way to America. And, you know, it's like the classic immigrant, you know, tale of rags to riches, if you will, and she's now a U.S. attorney. And then some of my own personal stories. And I could see that I was putting a face to what is Big Pharma? People say, you know, the bank, Big Pharma, whatever. It's people. It's all people just like me and the other characters in the book. And I could see I was like putting a real face to a corporate face, if you will.
Tracy, it seems as though we hear complaints most every month or so about the high cost of different prescription drugs. Yet you mentioned that it can cost up to $1 billion to invent one and bring it to the marketplace. Is that why drugs in this country are expensive, or is there more to it?
I'm not an expert in drug costs, but one thing I can definitely say is that Big Pharma, one, is our friend because they're the one doing the research and inventing these drugs that we all need. But two, there will be no generics without first having a branded pharmaceutical. And so we need drugs being invented and brought to market so that we can all have access to multiple choices. So, you know, if you have high blood pressure, for example, there's probably 20 drugs on the market right now that you can take. Most of them, if not all of them, are going to be generics and not cost very much. So it's a whole process that we just go through as a society from, you know, inventing the drug to getting it to market to getting the generics and hopefully high-quality generics. I mean, I'm for, you know, U.S.-based generic products because I'd like to see all those manufacturing jobs stay here in this country where we need these jobs.
The book is called Inflection Point. Can you explain the title to me?
When my son came out with it, it had been gone. That was the third title. First, I called it Unguided Missile. Then I called it Goliath Falls. And then my son hated both of those titles. He said, well, can you come up with one? And it's a mathematical term, and it means like sort of a point where the forces are either going for you or against you, and the momentum can't be stopped. And I thought that was pretty emblematic of what was happening in several of our lives, as well as in, you know, in the story itself at one point. So that's where it came from.
Now, we are familiar with Lipitor. We see commercials for that. It all has a other scientific name with that. Were we as a public aware of all of this that was going on, or was this something that was happening in courthouses, in boardrooms, while we were just living our lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been very well documented. It was the biggest patent infringement case of all time anywhere in the world over the largest selling pharmaceutical product. So there's plenty of newspaper coverage of it. But I don't think the average person is following patent infringement cases, however high profile they may be. And, you know, people are generally not interested in, you know, corporate stories and what's going on behind, you know, corporate walls. So that was, and as I said, one of my hopes is that by showing some people who actually were and are still part of Big Pharma, putting sort of a face to it.
Again, the book is called Inflection Point, War and Sacrifice in Corporate America. It details the million-dollar battle of control over Lipitor, and it talks about individuals. And anytime you take something down to those people that were there going to work every day, working to try to go along, it's always an interesting story of the everyman that happens. Our guest today has been Tracy Medford. Rosso, thanks for sharing the details with us, and I guess the book's available out there anywhere for folks to pick up, right?
It's out there. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon. You can also get it direct linked right off of my website, which is www.inflectionpointmemoir.com. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.